Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
We're going to open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. We're going to open our a familiar verse for many of you. We're going to read out of the NIV, and it goes like this. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's pray. Father God, again, we're just grateful. As we open your word, speak to us. Lord, I just move out of the way, Lord. I just want to be a yes man for you. I'm just a mouthpiece for what you want to say during this time, Lord God. So open up our hearts, our minds to receive your word, Lord God. And we just invite your presence to do all that you would like to do. We make, we not just make some room for you, we give you the room. So we are grateful again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. There's a story of a farmer. He was planting, he's a bamboo farmer, planting some seeds to grow some bamboo. This is a great building source. And this farmer gets the soil ready, plants the seeds in the ground, waters it. Nothing happens. A year goes by, 2 years goes by. Not even a sprout, nothing. He continues to water, check the soil. Third year goes by. A fourth year goes by. Can you believe it? This farmer is not giving up, continuing to water, continuing to check. I don't know about you, but I feel like by year four, we're probably, you know, look, Pastor Dan, and I don't have the green thumb. I have a black thumb of death at this point. You're wondering, what am I doing? Maybe I'm in the wrong business. I better do something else. No, this farmer is persistent. He continues to ready. Year number five comes by. Year five, and within 6 weeks, what was nothing for the previous 5 years is 80 feet in the air. What's going on with this? Is this magic bamboo? Is this Jack and the Beanstalk bamboo? Is the beanstalk really talking about bamboo? No. What happens, the process of bamboo, the roots cultivate itself down first. So my question for us tonight is, did that bamboo grow in 6 weeks or in 5 years? In 5 years, what was happening is the root was taking place. To withstand what was going to happen in 6 weeks, everything had to go down and be able to, because guess what? Like our lives, wind, waves, challenges are going to come against. But for what God has planned for us, there's a root system that has to happen. There's deep foundational things that has to happen to be able to withhold. Otherwise, this rapid growth wouldn't be able to happen. I can't empathize with this, but maybe, does anyone ever grow really tall really fast? Get it? I can't empathize. But have you ever met somebody, James in the back, my brother James? What happens is some people, you grow real fast. You get growing pains. A day knows what I'm talking about, right? Growing pains and aches. Again, I can't relate. Short kings in the place. Amen, amen. I can't relate. But again, all this is happening because all this is like this rapid growth. So you see sometimes, this is not you, James. I'm not calling you out. Sometimes tall people, it's a little bit it's a little bit lanky, right? You don't always run the same way. Especially if there's not the strength to hold up the foundation, the rapid growth. So what happens in this persistence that needs to take place? That's what's happening here in verse number 9. See, because in verse number 9 in Galatians, Paul, he's writing, it's kind of coming to the end of his note, of his letter to the church of Galatia. Right? They didn't have chapters back then, but we know now, okay, chapter number 6, he's kind of landing the plane here. And as he's landing the plane, he's encouraging the church, hey, guys, don't get tired in doing good. Guess what? You got to do good. Guess what, church? We still have to do good. Still read your Bible. Still pray. Still be kind to others. Still fast. Still show up to church 1, 2, and 3 times and get in God's house and be generous. Do all the good things. But in the original language, this word right here, can we put it up in the verse, that little word? What word is highlighted there? Weary. In the original language, that word leery was the opposite of kind of getting your buckle ready, your belt buckle. See, because a Hebrew man, in preparation for work, there was the word that you would kind of buckle himself to get to work. And then when you're unbuckling, it's like the job is done, the work is done. I'm checking out for the day. I'm clocking out. So that word weary is like that unbuckling, as if to say I'm checking out. Don't check out, church, in doing what is good, because in due season, somebody say in due season, we're gonna reap a harvest. And if you've been in church these last few weeks, come on, get the podcast. If you haven't been here, we're talking about sowing. We're talking about that harvest. And this harvest that we're talking about in our lives is gonna be, does anyone want a blessed life? Does anyone want all that God has for them? Does anyone want to know what you're called to do, what your purpose is, the thing that God is finding for you, the relationships that you have? I don't wanna get so weary in doing good things. See, because God has called you to do good things, and we've done them, and it's cost us. There's been sacrifice. We had to leave friends behind, relationships behind, habits behind, because we want all that God has for us, right? So I'm going to do good. I'm going to sacrificially give. I'm going to give of my time. I'm going to sow my talent, treasure, and my passions, and I'm going to give them to God. That's all this doing good, but yet we can find ourselves weary. The wait to see these shoots pop out of the sky seems long. The pastor said I'd be blessed. The pastor said, hey, if you make this your church, you come for a year. I don't know. I still, you know, my wife's gone. My kids are gone. My bank account looks kind of funny. What's going on? Tonight, if we find ourselves in a place where things just aren't what you thought. Anybody in this place ever got excited about something and you get started on a project or a business, or you did the research, maybe going back to school or a career field, and all of a sudden you hit a hump, and then guess what? It's like, I didn't want to do that anyways. It was kind of whack, right? I didn't like that girl anyways, you know. You know, she had six toes, you know, so it's all right. It's okay. She didn't really break my heart. It was just like, you know, she had six toes. Come on. Right? Making excuses. Come on, guys. She didn't really have six toes. Tonight, we're talking from the subject of built to last. Come on. Built to last. The power of a persistent faith. God is calling us to have a persistent faith. Not a faith that at every whim, at every challenge, we find ourselves checked out. We find ourselves questioning God. At some point, guys, we're going to have to buckle in and decide, come on, I want the fire of God, because I know he has a purpose, and I know there's going to be trials. I know there's going to be troubles. I know things are going to happen. I know it's not going to always be easy, but I'm buckled in. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on, no turning back. I'm going after him. But that doesn't just happen because I say so. Something in us, come on, something on the inside of us has to make a decision. Anyone that's ever done anything substantial for Christ, or even in the world, in the sports world, athletes, right? Whoever your GOAT might be, I'm going to go with Kobe for mine. Come on now. You can't blame me. Mamba mentality, it's just different. There's a different approach to things. It's people don't understand it, and it's not normal almost. People aren't going to understand your devotion to Jesus. People aren't going to understand why you want to give above and beyond, why you want to serve above and beyond, why you might help a stranger, somebody that you don't know, why you might love them, why you might serve somebody that doesn't look like you, that have the same bank account as you. Why would you treat them like they're your friend? Because something is different about us. But that doesn't just happen one day. There are trials, there are challenges that we're going to have to face. But I don't know about you, I want to be on the other side of those challenges. And guess what? It doesn't have to be in your own strength. It's by the grace of God. It's by his power in our life. It'd be different if I was up here saying, you got to get it together, you got to do it. No, we are empowered by his grace to get the job done. We are empowered by him. We partner with him in faith. Come on, that should be some good news for somebody. Because it'd be like, I don't like all this stuff you're saying. I can't do it. I've tried. I don't know about you. I get kind of spaced out. I see a bird, and what was I just talking about, right? So I have challenges trying to get things done in my flesh. I have challenges being effective and productive and all the things that great leaders and great entrepreneurs and great ministers and great people do, right? All this Mamba mentality, I can't even get the mentality to read enough to do it, right? Anybody have challenge reading? So I can quickly disqualify myself. Maybe you're in this place, you've disqualified yourself from doing anything great. You've disqualified yourself because of where you've come from, because of the challenges you have, because of diagnoses. Man, I was watching this, I was scrolling randomly on TikTok, right? And I saw this, this person was trying to give this product away. And, you know, I don't think he was trying to make this case, but everyone had, as he's interviewing these people, everyone was giving off their diagnosis. PTSD and ADHD and all the different things that they have and the spectrums, and no disrespect to any of those different things, but all that we've identified ourselves by our diagnoses, by the challenges that we have, that the things that would keep us from doing, that's what I hear. I was like, man, these are inhibitors from God's best for my life. Now, maybe you have a diagnosis. Don't let it be an inhibitor, something that would stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Because God knew you had that diagnosis when he called you. And he knows you have that diagnosis, and he has a plan for our life. So with my diagnosis, with my challenge, with my inability to pay attention for a long time, I'm going to move forward with Jesus. Anybody want to join me tonight? I got to say this. Again, these terms, persistence and perseverance, just kind of sort of rolling around in my spirit. Like, I got to be persistent. I got to persevere. And these sound like really cool words. They sound like, really, you know, I can make a movie about this thing. They can make a motivational speech about these terms. But I don't want these to just be empty words on a page. I don't want this to be something that, again, until you get distracted enough or until something doesn't go your way enough. These things have to come alive in us. And guess what? The Word of God talks about them so they can be. That means there's a promise attached to these things for my life. It's one thing to take a cool notion and a great quote from a motivational person, or, you know, maybe you've read, there's that guy Goggins, or all these motivational speakers that have these really cool, like, hip, what is it called, terms or things that they're going to say, motivation, that things are going to get them in check. Like, I'm going to do it, man. Like, just do it. Nike, right? Like, I just felt like Fred right now, Dr. Fred. I don't know, I got the spirit of Dr. Fred on me for a second. But let's throw up these definitions. Definitions, simple definitions. Persistence means not giving up when it's hard. Simple definition. Perseverance means staying strong and faithful to God through hard times. Now, these two terms, they could be somewhat interchangeable, but there is a distinction. And let's see, I have one of the distinctions on here. What's the next slide here? So persistence is the daily step. Perseverance is the long journey. Persistence is I'm getting out of bed because I know there's a long way ahead of me. How about this? Persistence is the fuel. Perseverance is keeping it going, keeping the fire going, right? Persistence is going to fuel the fight. Perseverance is going to make sure that fight keeps going inside of us. Because when we get hit, I got to persevere. I get on the other side of this. Things didn't go the way I wanted. I didn't get the report I wanted. I didn't get the job that I wanted. The door didn't open that I wanted. In fact, it closed. Not just closed. It slammed in my face. And I got called a loser on the way out. So throw some whipped cream on that. You loser. Right? What? The perseverance on the inside of us. Goes, you know what? That one hurt. That one hurt. Because they even did this whole number. No, I'm kidding. It hurt, guys. But I'm here. I'm persevering. I'm going to get on the other side of this. Let's talk Bible. Let's talk Bible. Listen. We're going to be talking tonight. We're going to go through three different stories that we see in Scripture quickly. We're going to talk about persist our way to perseverance. Come on. Persist our way to perseverance. The first thing we're going to see is persistence in prayer. Turn with me to a parable with Jesus. Let's go to Jesus is talking in Luke chapter 18. Jesus is sharing a parable with people. And here we go. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Doesn't that sound familiar? Not lose heart. Saying this, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, the judge, saying, get justice for my adversary. Verse 4, and he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me. Another word for troubles here, I'm just going to say it, annoys me, bothers me, gets on my last nerve. Because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming, she weary me. Lest she keep bothering me and is make me want to check out. There goes that word weary again. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect? Who's his elect? Anybody in his elect tonight? Who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. I tell you that he, speaking of God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Is there faith on the earth? Is there a faith in this room that will bug the Lord, that will persist? And I better not use that word bug, because we don't bug the Lord, but can we be persistent? Can we make sure that, yeah, I didn't see it yesterday. I didn't see it today. I may not see it tomorrow, but I'm still going to get on my knees. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to ask. I'm still going to seek. I'm still going to knock. Actually, that's what the Bible commands us to do, to ask, seek, and knock. And I'm going to persist and persist, and I'm going to ask for my marriage. And I'm going to ask for my child. And I'm going to ask for this job that I need. I'm going to ask for the provision that I need. I'm going to ask for the support and the friends that I need, because I feel alone, because I don't have community. So I'm going to ask God, send somebody to me that I can trust, somebody that won't hurt me. I'm going to trust that I'm going to find a church community that I can serve. And I'm going to trust that, hey, this business that I feel like you put on the inside of me, I'm going to step out and doors are going to open. I am going to trust, and I'm going to ask him for it and believe that I will receive what I ask for. Because God is looking for some persistence. And if you wondered if we have the permission, you just saw it. And he tells the people, he tells them, will they not find the faith? Do we have the faith that we would get before the Lord? Do you know, this has been some of my prayer journey. I've wondered if I bother God. I prayed that yesterday, God. Can I really just pray that again? I've been praying that for a couple weeks, God. Am I bothering you? Anyone with me? Everyone felt like maybe you're bothering God? Like, do I need to change the words up? Maybe it's because I'm saying it the same way every day. Maybe there's a formula to this, God. But then we come across his words like this, that give me permission, that empower me, that make me feel, wait, I'm not nagging God. I have a little daughter. I have two little daughters. And this is how they tend to call me. Daddy, 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 daddy. What? I mean, yes, my loves. Yes, my loves. How can I help you? No, because it can't just be one. I don't know why it can't just be like, daddy. Actually, the little older one is trying to just call me dad all of a sudden. I'm like, no, it's daddy still. And it's like, you can just say dad, and then what it is? How can I help you? But you know, God himself, Jesus says like, hey, you guys are just earthly beings. You know how to give good gifts. You know how to give what it is to your child, the needs that they have. How much more, come on, how much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts to his? You know, God delights in your delight. God delights in giving you good things. It's you who believe that you deserve to be punished. It's condemnation that's from the enemy that has lied to you, that tells you you're supposed to have it hard, that tells you it can't just be easy, that tells you you're not worth God, that God's time, that if you ask him, he would give it to you. But let that shame and condemnation go and step into the truth that God is telling you. You can receive the good things that you ask for. What would it look like if you started expecting God to give you good things? What would it look like if you started expecting that God would bless your hand so that you could bless others? If we're supposed to be God's light on the earth, why would he want us to be broke, busted, and disgusted? Would he not want us to be a good symbol? I don't like my kids running around, especially my wife. You know, I don't care as much as a dad. You know, if my daughters run around, they'll kind of, you know, my daughter doesn't like to brush her hair. I don't like to fight her. So I let her walk around, kind of go ragdoll. So if you ever see her with her hair messed up, daddy got her ready. But if you see her with her hair combed, mommy got her ready. Because my wife, it feels like a representation of her. Those are my kids. How much more does God want us looking good, feeling good, being good? Because we're blessed. We represent the Almighty God. And I'm not saying you need to be in gold chains and in a Rolls Royce. I'm just saying, can you be full of joy? Can you have peace on your life? Can you have a smile? Do you need to have your bank account full to be able to smile at somebody and look at somebody and be kind? You know, being kind is free. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to double click and like someone's picture. It's not that serious. Well, I don't want them to think I care. Like it charges you. Like you get billed by smiling at somebody or being kind or saying hi. I only get so many smiles. You know, actually, it takes more muscle to frown than it does to smile. Come on, somebody. Can you find a persistent people? All right, go with me. Point number two. Let's go. Let's take our little plane. We're going to Jericho now. Here we were with Jesus. Now we're going to Jericho. Because at first we saw persistence in our prayer. Now we're going to see persistence in the process. Jericho was this city on the other side as God is giving the promised land to his people. Joshua chapter 6. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. The city of Jericho, the people had started to hear, oh, snap, God's people made it on the other side, and he's coming to take up all these they're coming to take up all these towns, and we're next. So they're locked up. They're locked in. Let's look here at Joshua 6, verse number 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city the once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. That was kind of confusing. But what he's saying is, you're going to go around, you're going to march around this city once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you're going to go around 7 times, blow the horns, do a big shout. When everyone shouts and rejoices after their horn, a shout of victory, the city is just going to fall. I don't know what that even means, but we're about to take this city is what he's saying. But guess what? In our lives, God will call us to do things, ask us to do things. See, the wall of Jericho, they didn't win the city on the first day. There was a process that was taking place. On the first day, the first lap, the first time you fasted, the first time you, instead of puff, puff, pass, you just passed. I don't want any of it. The first time God said, hey, you know, it's time to break up with that guy. He's not good for you. But now I'm alone. But now I don't have any friends. And you've asked me to let this habit go that used to make me feel good. I used to have anxiety. So wait, what's going on here? Day one, day two, day three. You're asking me to give. You're asking me to serve. You're asking me to do these things. They don't make sense to me. I'm not seeing. Am I supposed to see something? Am I supposed to feel something? Because on the other side of this, I actually just feel more alone, more anxious, more uncertain. What's going on here? Is anybody relate? Am I related with anybody? And day five, and day six, But I'm going to persist through this process. And I'm going to lay down anything you ask me to lay down. And I'm going to walk away from anybody you ask me to walk away. And I'm going to sacrifice anything you ask of me. I'm going to read my word, and I'm going to see what it's calling me to do. And I'm going to move towards that thing. And I'm going to get to where God is calling me to do through this process. And I'm going to march around Jericho on the seventh time. And I'm going to let a shout of rejoicing. And the challenges, the things that I've persisted, I'm finally seeing the fruit in. I'm finally seeing the things that I asked for. I'm finally seeing those relationships, this marriage that I got. I finally got the baby that we've been praying for. I finally got the job that I've been asking for. Man, I'm not only able to tithe, I'm able to give offering. And I'm able to give to the miracle birthday offering. And I'm able to be generous to my friends. And I'm able to serve them. And I'm able to do all these amazing things. I got this new talent. I didn't even know I knew how to play an instrument. But all of a sudden, I'm playing this instrument and turned into this passion thing of mine. And I'm writing songs. And oh my gosh, I think I'm going to start a business. I never knew computers. I don't know. Man, I'm talking fast. But listen. We have to persist in the process of what God is calling us to do. It might not always make sense. People aren't always going to understand why you're doing it, why you're abandoning us, why you're leaving us, why you're saying these things. God has a plan for you. God has a call and a purpose for your life that doesn't look like necessarily what you thought it was. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how inexperienced you are. You hear me? God doesn't care how old you are, the lack of credentialing that you have. If God's saying apply for the job, well, no, I know. Actually, I know my supervisor and this other person told me that they were going to apply. So I might not even, it's not even worth trying because, no, if God said apply, if God put it on your heart, apply for the job. Let him take care of the rest. Have persistence in the process. Because you never know that they might not get the job, or in fact, they were trying to leave anyways. So guess who's next up on the totem pole? It's your job. It's your call. Come on, that's your new salary. That's your new position of influence. But if we get weary in the process, if we quit in the process, if, God, I gave you 6 months of my life. I did this tithing thing. I tried to tell somebody about Jesus. And people always say, no one ever turns down prayer. And then I got bold and I asked someone for prayer and they looked at me crazy. And I felt dumb, so I walked away like this. Fine then. Because that was hard for me, and that was a challenge for me. Will we have persistence in the process of what God is calling us to do? I don't know everything God's calling you to do, but he does, and I know he wants to let you in on what that is too. But we have to trust him in the process. Amen? Last one. Here we go. We're leaving Jericho and we're coming up on Jacob. Everybody okay? We're going to persist our way to perseverance by persisting in the struggle. These aren't fun words, guys. These are not fun words. I wish I could, paint it real picture for you, but I got to be real with you. I got to be honest with you. This way of Jesus that we live, this life following after God, boy, it is a blessed life. I was just talking to Pastor Jess. There's man, the highs are high, but the valleys are, well, they're valleys. And sometimes it can feel like a long valley in between the next high. But guess what, all the way along, God is building our faith and strengthening us and getting us from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from one degree to the next. God is using us in the process. And guess what? We get to help change lives in the process and serve people and worship God in the process. And our life is being more enriched and more blessed. And God, the Bible says, count it all joy when you're being tested. Count it all joy when you're being tested, because you're going to get perseverance, and in that perseverance, you're going to get character and be able to sustain what God is calling and asking you to do. The reality of why some people just can't seem to make it is because they haven't, if I could just be real, they haven't had the character to develop in them to be able to withstand the success that they've always wanted. So why would God bless somebody to the way that they dreamed of if they don't have the character to sustain it? To set them up to hurt themselves. To set them up to now all of a sudden they're bound for hell. Can we get the character within us to sustain what God is calling for us? See, because you have a vision and a dream for your life. If you don't, let's get one. You get around some faith-filled people long enough, all of a sudden you'll have that. You'll have a vision for an idea for your life of how, man, I feel like I could do this. And once you get that, now let's go on this road because it's not just easy. Get around somebody. Ask somebody that's found success in their life, maybe in something that you want to do. And ask. And it might get, again, social media is the worst place to do it because you're only going to see the highlights. You're only going to, it'll paint the nice picture of, well, I want that life. But then you're going to talk to them and they're going to say, well, it took a couple bankruptcies and it took this and I really had to risk this. And you know what? Guess what? I lost sleep for a couple of nights. So people, somebody checked out at lost sleep. Or I had to sacrifice. I couldn't go to coffee for a couple of months. I had to really just scrape by. But I was believing. Guys, we have to, within us, build a life that can be worthy and strong enough to sustain disappointments. So can we have this persistence in the struggle? Genesis chapter 32. We're running out of time. We're going here. Genesis 32. Here's Jacob. Now Jacob, he's been Weasley since the beginning, guys. His name is Supplanter. He finagled his way into a birthright, into a blessing. So, I mean, I'm not saying I believe in karma. I don't. But if there was something karmatic about something, it's about to happen right here. Right? Because Jacob, all of a sudden, who he tricked his big brother out of his birthright, is now on the run for his life. Because he thinks, oh, man, my brother's, he's behind me. I'm trying to move this stuff, and he's about to chase me down and take me out. Because Jacob probably knows like that, and he would be right. And that's what I have coming. So he's desperate, probably afraid, probably confused, on the run. Genesis 32, verse number 24. So Jacob was left alone. He sent his wife. He sent his cattle. He sent all his possessions. He's like, look, man, if this is going to happen, I want to be alone. I want you guys to be safe, so I'm going to be here. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man, that name man should be capitalized. What does a capitalized letter mean at the beginning of a name or a word? It's God. So wait, there was a man? So Jacob was wrestling with capital M man? Jacob was wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, God saw that he couldn't overpower Jacob. What? Then the man said, let me go for it is daybreak. God is saying, let me go for it's daybreak. We've been wrestling. We wrestled all night and there's no winner. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let go until you favor me. I will not let you go until you get me through this. I'm desperate. I'm afraid. I have a need. I don't know if there's anybody in here that maybe feels that same way where I'm at the end of myself. I'm at the end of my strength. I've tried everything I can do. I've done everything that you said to do, that the preacher said to do, that my boss said to do, and I still find myself depressed or down, or I just can't seem to catch a break, and I just need to say, God bless me. I'm not letting go. I'm not quitting. I'm not just going to just take what you said. I'm not going to let what your title on me, I'm not going to own that, because I'm going to hold on until I get the blessing of God. And guess what? God blesses him. And he changes his name from Jacob to Israel. He gives him a new name, an empowered name. And now when we talk about the children of Israel, talking about the nation of Israel, it's because God blessed this man and his persistence in the struggle, in the pain. Guess what? Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. He put his hip out of socket. And I don't know if it was swaggy or not, if it looked cool, or if it looked kind of different. You know, I don't know if it was like one of these numbers, like one of these limps, or if it was just, you know, I don't want to make fun of a limp. Anybody, I don't know. I don't want to make fun of a limp. But if you have I wonder if maybe some believers need to walk around with some spiritual limps. I wonder If maybe we need to have a little bit more limps around here because we wrestled with God, because we said, God, I'm not moving until you bless me. I'm not going to go anywhere until you bless me. The devil's trying to kick me down. The enemy's trying to keep me here, but I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to hold on to your promise. I'm going to hold on to what you said. I'm going to hold on to my purpose. I've been betrayed. I've been hurt. I've been beat up. Life has let me down. I've walked away before and found myself back at your feet, and I'm saying, Jesus, I have a limp. Is that okay? Can you still use me? Am I still called? He said, I gave you that limp. I'm with you. I'm persistently pursuing you. Are you going to persistently pursue me in this struggle when it's tough, when it's hard? Because if you can, we can go somewhere. Amen. Guys, if we're going to be wimpy, if we're going to check out when it gets hard, it's not that God abandons us. It's we're not going to be able to make it. We saw the parable of the seed and the ground and how life can just sweep you away. Can we be a good enough soil in our hearts to get past ourselves and what someone said about us, or maybe some hurt or offense that someone in a church group or a pastor once said about us, to say, you know what, God, that wasn't you, and I'm not giving up. God has been hard, but I'm not giving up. Can Chris come out? We're gonna wrap up here. As we've seen, sometimes the biggest breakthroughs come not from your strength, but from your surrender. Come on, your biggest breakthroughs come not from what you can do in your own strength, but in your surrender to Jesus. Anybody surrender tonight? Anybody tired of trying to do it on your own? I know I can't. I try a lot, and I fall flat on my face a lot. But I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to continue to pursue, and I'm going to continue to pursue, and I'm going to continue to ask. Guys, this isn't, I'm not preaching this from this place of mastery. I'm preaching this from the place of desperation to say, man, would you join me on this journey of persistence, of not letting go? If anyone ever tries to tell you they've arrived, run for the hills. Can I get a witness from even our pastors up here? If anyone tries to say, hey, do it this way, and it's going to all be easy from here, that's a liar. I'm not trying to go that way, because I understand that even the word tells me I'm going to have trials and tribulations. Jesus himself told me that trials and tribulations will come, and I'm going to keep going. So I'm not going to get, if I feel wearied, I'm going to make sure I buckle back up. And I'm going to trust the process, and I'm going to pray. So what do we learn tonight? The widow teaches us to persist in prayer. Jericho teaches us to persist in the process. And Jacob teaches us to persist in the struggle. If you got something from the Word of God tonight, let's give him a praise. What I want to do is I just want to make sure that before we leave and dismiss and send us off for the rest of our evening, whatever you can do, go to bed, have dinner, whatever it might be, that we don't leave this place without making sure that you've had an opportunity to submit your heart and life to Jesus. You know, it's one thing to come and worship and clap and laugh and maybe even at the altar and had a good time, or maybe felt some emotions and felt a touch. But it would be a shame if you come into a church space and have a church feel, but don't totally know what that means. What am I talking about? See, you don't become a follower of Jesus. You're not a Christian just because you come to church. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it say that simply coming to church, like checking a church attendance cards, mean that you are a follower of Jesus, that you're headed for heaven. See, because we have to ask ourselves all this. All of us have to ask ourselves this question. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. We need to ask ourselves the tough question. Is that if we were to perish, if our lives were to end, where might we spend our eternity? Would we spend it in heaven or in hell? They're both very real places. I'm not trying to coerce or scare anybody. Simply laying out the truth. In the same way I lay out the truth from the Word of God, this is also from God's Word. He talks about examining ourselves and the reality of eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And so tonight, I want to lay out for you what the Bible says about those options. Again, we've already gone over how church attendance doesn't mean that you're a Christian headed for heaven. You know that you can't do enough good things? We talked about doing good. You said do good. Yeah, awesome. I'm glad you do good. But the good works have to follow our faith. Our faith in Jesus. So you can't just do enough good things. You know, my good outweighs my bad. I try not to hurt anybody. You know, I look out for me, and, you know, I don't mess with people. I do good things. If I see somebody, I give them. I'm glad that you're a good, upstanding citizen. That's awesome. But none of that means anything when it comes to our eternity. Again, nowhere in the Word of God do we find that our good deeds mean anything. In fact, we find out in the Word of God, it's quite the contrary. That if we took all of our good deeds and added them up, they still would not mean anything. See, because the cost for our sin, we fell short. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And so the cost required for us to be made righteous is death. But the good news, we talk about the good news, we talk about the gospel, the good news is that Jesus came and paid that price. And paid the cost by dying on the cross. So there's always an option. The option, the invitation before you tonight is whether or not you want to put your faith in Him. Because you're not a Christian because you do good. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You're not a Christian because you were raised in a Christian home. You're not a Christian because, oh, well, I just think, I'm a decent person. You can't think your way, you can't manifest your way, you can't have enough spiritual things, encounters, crystals, any of these things. In fact, going down too far that way, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. The true way to Christ is God's heaven, we got to do it God's way. The Bible says that you have to be born again. What does that mean, born again? Kind of a funny sounding term. But in the book of John, chapter 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a spiritual leader, a religious leader of the time. He had the scripture memorized, followed the law to a T. He could quote the scripture. All the things that we would say, that's a good guy. And in fact, if we didn't know any better, if anyone can make it to heaven, it's that guy, Nicodemus. He's in. But he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus tells him, "You must be born again." He didn't say, "Man, keep it up." He didn't say, "Just keep doing what you're doing." In a shocking surprise, I'm sure to him and to all of us all these years later, is that he said, "You must be born again." Meaning everything that you've done, all the good things, all those, that's not what makes you able to enter the kingdom of heaven. The good news for us is that we don't have to be perfect. We have to be born again. What does that mean? And that means that we've made Jesus our Lord and our Savior. We put our faith and our trust in Him. Not in our strength, not in our know-how, not in our knowledge. So tonight, I invite you. I compel you with the option of eternity in heaven. But also life and life more abundantly while you're on this earth. Your tomorrow is not promised. So tonight you have to make sure. I need you to listen in. Because this is very important. When it comes to a life or death message, this is a part of the message that is life or death. Because if you are not living in a way that is pleasing to God, and if you have yet to submit your life to Jesus, then the truth is that you will not be spending your eternity in heaven. So tonight you need to make sure. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3 and pop my hand on the mic just like that. When you hear that popping sound, what I want you to do is get your hand up. By raising your hand, you're making this decision. You're saying, "I need Jesus. I need to be born again. I'm doing life my way." The reality is we can't do things a little in, a little out. Hey, I'm here after all, aren't I? I'm glad you're here. But maybe you're here just for the mere fact to realize that you're not going to make it unless you get right with Jesus, unless you surrender your heart. Tonight is your night of salvation. Tonight is the night that you say all the way over. You've been teetering. You've been asking questions. I'm glad. Tonight is the night to make sure. You've been messing around too long. You've been flirting with the line. You thought you were okay because you were raised in church. You were brought to church. Tonight's not a night to save face. Tonight's not a night to, I'll do it next time. Tomorrow is not promised. Why are you being so heavy? Because I love you enough. And I sense by the Spirit that that there's everything else is telling you all the reasons why you don't need to, when the truth is, you know you do. Here we go. One, get ready to get your hand up. Two, make sure tonight. Maybe you're a little bit in, a little bit out. In church terms, we like to call that lukewarm. You're just kind of like, ah. Make sure tonight. Three, let me see your hands tonight. Anybody tonight? I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else in the family rooms? Was that a yawn or was that a hand? Slick back the hair. Anybody else? Let's make sure tonight. I'm glad we had a great time in church, man. God showed up. But is tonight your night? Do you need to make sure? Two wise people, I didn't embarrass them. It's not my heart to embarrass you. Anybody else in the place? This is good. This is good. This is good. All right, come on, let's give it up for those wise people. Hey, if you raise your hand, would you join me up here up front? Come on forward. Let's all stand. Let's all clap. Let's all welcome them. If you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, hey, now is your time to come as well. Come on down. It's not too late. It's not too late. Come on down. All two, three, four, five of you, you want to make sure tonight is your night of salvation. Come on forward. Come on, there was another hand. Come on forward. Be so brave. Come on down. Anybody else in this place? Guys doing tonight? Man, you guys look like it's the best day of your life. You know that? It's the best day of your life. Your life's about to be completely changed, and I'm so grateful for that. Hey, would do this favor with me. Repeat this prayer after me. What we're going to do right now is, I'm so glad you raised your hand. That's awesome. And I'm glad you made the brave step of walking down here. But walking down here is not what gets you saved. What happens is the Bible says when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you're saved. So what we're going to confess and what we're going to believe is that Jesus died on the cross and is our Savior. So I'm going to give us some words, a simple prayer, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. In fact, everyone's going to repeat this prayer. And hey, maybe you didn't raise your hand, and maybe you didn't come down here, but you know that's you. Hey, you can pray this prayer too. And mean it in your heart and confess with your mouth, and your life is going to change. And your life is going to change, all right? So here we go. Say, Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior. I declare that you are my Lord and that you are my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for washing away my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for making me new, for making me whole. From this day forward, I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, this is my friend Petey. What he's going to do, he's a great friend. He's a great friend to me, and he wants to get you in front of some friends. It's a faith-filled friend that's going to give you and right on the steps of what he has next for you. So go and follow Petey. Come on, we rejoice. Anybody glad they made it to church on this wonderful Sunday evening? Man, we are so blessed. Hey, let me bless you on your way out. If you would, just raise your hand to heaven. That's where the blessing comes from. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. These are your people called by your name, Lord God. I pray that you would go before them, Jesus, that you open doors that no man can open, that you would close doors that no man can close, that you are a hedge of protection about them, that you would keep them healthy and blessed and strong, Lord God. And I pray that everything they put their hands to, it would prosper in your name. And Jesus, with a great big big shout of faith. We say about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful night.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.